Hello, everyone. This is George Watkins. Welcome to our Sunday night blessing broadcast. We meet here each Sunday night at 6 o'clock to talk about the good things of God, to go over some of the revelation that God is giving us through Scripture. Please join us as often as you can and enter into our time together with the Lord. Some of our Sunday nights we are live and others are recorded because of scheduling. But each Sunday night is a special treat to be together with you. Let's go into our broadcast tonight and see what the Lord has for us. God bless. Hello, everyone. It's Sunday night again. We get to spend some time talking about the good things of the Lord and digging into some of the scriptures that have been magnified to us this week. I'm so thankful for the Spirit of God that has been ministering to the body of Christ this week. Contacts and the people I interact with, some of the people that are on the social internet that share what's going on in other parts of the world are part of my input and my information. There is some supernatural things happening around the world. In some of the nations with some of the greatest persecution comes out, the greatest revivals are happening there. So you and I that are discomforted now by a number of things, we're discomforted by the long-term sickness, virus, pandemic that has been thrust on the world and on our nation. And then we had a double whammy by being discomforted by a political government now that is intent on pressing and persecuting and harassing the Christian message, the church, trying to shut us down, trying to quiet us. One of the biggest exposures of their spirit was last year when the California governor wanted us to wear masks. He went further than that. He wanted us not to go to church and sing. We couldn't sing in church. That's like a Christian not being able to pray. Singing is part of our communication, part of our release, part of our adoration to the Lord. It's our entrance in to the throne, isn't it? To the gates and to the courts. So we are in a place of disquieted. That's another word for just being irritated and fearful in some cases and agitated in others. And in the end result, it should stir us up to spiritual anger. Spiritual anger being the fact that you do something about it. Not destructive, but constructive. You get mad enough, you'll rise up and face the enemy. You get desperate enough, you'll take a sling in your hand and throw a stone and take the giant down. So I encourage you today, as we have these few moments together, to be encouraged. That's a double positive. I encourage you to be encouraged because God has not forgotten his promises, has he? He has not forgotten, and he is not going to forget. So let's talk about equal partnership, equal partners. One of the things my dad warned me about, in many things he did, was he said, son, if you're going to be in business, never go in partnership with anyone. Well, we listen to out of one ear to our fathers when we're younger. But I had an experience, one of my, in the first season of my investment in real estate, which I have over the years. I bought a few homes and sold a few homes. I went in partnership with two people. One of them was going to do one job, the other, and I was going to be the silent partner. That means I put some money up. Well, I just went on preaching and working in the church and doing my thing, but they didn't do anything. 6 months later, "I'm sorry, Pastor, we lost the house." I didn't want to collect rent because I felt sorry for the person. Okay, partnerships. That's my sad story. That's a long time ago. Now, partnerships can be scary. And I know I've had a partnership for 53 years with a precious young lady that I made a covenant with, and it's a covenant partnership, and that's what a marriage is. So we've worked together, equal co-laborers, because we've come together, and what happened in the marriage is we became one in the flesh and one in the spirit. And when you do that, then the partnership is an equal partnership. Can't do it in the natural. Make contracts and people break them. Make agreements and people run away, or they don't hold up their end of it. But in the relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father through Jesus Christ, it is a marriage relationship. That's why Paul talks about the church like a husband and wife, because we've come together to have an interchange of spirits. Now, when you come together in, as a husband and wife, you are each other's battery backup. Your spirit is intended to recharge each other as you come together as a husband and wife. Now, Paul warned, he said, don't be going around with prostitutes. In other words, out of the covenant marriage. Don't be doing that. He says, you don't want to hook up with anybody else but the covenant partner. If you do, it'll drain your battery. It'll take your life, your spirit, your energy and your soul. But when you come together in covenant partnership, you recharge one another. And so it is with the kingdom. So it is with the Father and with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because we're married, we are the bride of Christ. We are married to Jesus. And we come together in what we call prayer and worship. All the levels and aspects and words we use for the interchange of that personal, private connection with God through Jesus Christ. And the natural parallel and description is the husband and wife coming together in the union of the flesh. And when they do, there's a recharge. Your wife, if you're a man, your wife is your battery backup. And Paul said, don't be neglecting that. If you're going to fast and pray and separate yourself from your battery backup, he says you don't need to do it long, long time. You got to come back and reconnect so that each of you can recharge one another. Now, that's not just a natural desire. It's a spiritual connection when you're married, because of the covenant that God has made. Now, covenants then go back to the first of the book, don't they? Way back with Adam and Eve. And God cut covenants. God made contracts through the shedding of blood. But I love the covenant of Abraham. When God cut the covenant with Abraham, he put him to sleep, just like he did with Adam. Put him to sleep, and we see the picture of the image of the one coming and making covenant. Now, in that day, they took the lamb, cut it in two, and put it on each side of a little pathway, and then they would walk between the pathway and make a covenant. I promise this, I promise that, I'll do this. That's a covenant. When you're agreeing with someone, giving and taking, I give you this, I receive from you this. It's the big deal. Well, God cut a covenant with himself. That's the whole thing. And in that type of covenant, that's equal partnership that never breaks. He stood in our place, in Abraham's place. He took Abraham's place, put him to sleep, took Abraham's place, and he made the deal with himself. That's like shaking hands with yourself, say, George, I agree that I will come over and mow your lawn. Thank you, George. I received that agreement. I'm expecting you. Sounds silly when I do it, but when God does it, it's eternal. It will never be broken. So, flash forward to Jesus Christ. Jesus came and he went to the cross for you and I, and he made a covenant. God made a covenant with God because God was on the cross in the form of the man called Jesus Christ. Remember now, God was fully man, or Jesus was fully man and fully God. It wasn't half and half like some kind of freak or some kind of alien. He was fully man, fully God. I don't know how it works. It just does. That's what the scripture says. So we're told that great relationships are based on realistic expectations and communication know-how. That's part of a description on equal partnerships out of the Webster's. Great relationships are based on realistic expectations and communication know-hows. All right, so I made some notes. Great expectations. What can we expect from God? Well, we expect a lot of things. The American expects smooth sailing all the way. A big car, big boat, big house, so forth. And I believe in prosperity. Thank God for people that have the money to help the poor. I was listening to the Victory Channel the other night, and they were talking about the Christians, including Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland sent one of his planes over there to help rescue the Americans out of, and I suppose others, but the Americans out of Afghanistan. And the pastor that's the spokesman for the Victory Channel on YouTube. If you haven't seen that, you need to tune in. It's a wonderful, wonderful addition to the kingdom. He said, this is why we have prosperity. So someone can take their resources. And there were many, many Christian organizations and Christian people that took their prosperity resources. I'm not sidetracked. I still remember where I'm going. So this is why I believe in prosperity. Not prosperity like the fat cat in the New Testament that said, I'm going to build bigger barns so I can stuff my things in there, cram them in, and then go in there like Scrooge McDuck from the Donald Duck Disneyland days or Disney days, and lay in the pile of his gold coins and just say, oh, look at me, how rich I am. No, that's not prosperity. Prosperity is the size of your pipeline from God through you to others. Given, it shall be given. So when I talk about expectations, the American mind and some of the church people, the church, I just want more, more, more without any outlet. And you know what you get with an inlet with no outlet? You get a Dead Sea. That's why the Dead Sea in Middle East is so salty and briny that you can't sink. It's so salty. It's worthless. There's no life in it. Because why? There's no outlet. The outlet is as important as the inlet, maybe more important. because it gives a way for the water to keep moving and flowing through. Your financial prosperity is not just conditioned on your faith and God. It's also conditioned on your outlet. For the scriptures do say, give and it shall be given. No. Whoa. I read that wrong. Get and then you give. Oh, did I say that right? That didn't sound right. Hold on. Let me try it again. Get a lot of money. And when you get a lot of money and you feel real comfortable and secure, then you can give a little bit away. No, that doesn't sound right either. Oh, I said it right the first time. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I had a woman in my church years ago, great, great, great woman of God. She did so many marvelous and crazy things for God. When she first came in and began to learn about the things of the Lord, I was teaching on giving and probably receiving an offering. I love to do that sometimes twice. I had a friend back east preach for him quite a bit, and he always took two offerings every service. I said, Brother Fred, how can you do that? I mean, that seems. He said, George, when you really believe that giving is a blessing, you will not hold your people back. You will give them opportunity to do it often. Now, I feel so sorry. I don't want to take money from people. You got to be kidding me. You're making an outlet. You're providing an outlet in that Dead Sea they've got. They need to give something. So the Bible, I'm still not lost. I know where I'm going on this. Given it shall be given. So I'm talking here about expectations. What do you expect from God? A lot of money. No, we got past that 5 minutes ago. Okay. What do we expect from God? Everlasting love and acceptance. Everlasting love and acceptance. Bible says in the book of Romans that he will never quit loving you. Death, life, things present, things past, anything everywhere, including the cosmos. If you can find one, you know, out there in a planet somewhere. Never leave you. Never forsake you. So we can expect that. When we start dealing with God, we can expect that. You can expect to be forgiven and have him forget it. Our pastor this morning was preaching on sharing some of your life with someone, because you need to have someone walk with you in your trial, and we're at some point there's a time when we confess our faults one to another and be healed. But he spent quite a bit of time on telling us to be sure we pick the right person, not some gossip. Not somebody that's going to spread the news. Hey, did you hear what so-and-so did? Amen. But God doesn't do that. He buries your sin in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you anymore. It's not unusual for someone to confess a wicked deed or a sin to the pastor, and then they're embarrassed, and they leave the church, or they hang back, or they're always intimidated. No. Now, pastors are not God. And I've been one a long time, and I know that if you don't give it to the Lord, I developed a forgetfulness. Even when I was 40, I developed one. Now when I'm twice that, I am not confessing forgetfulness. I want to remember where my car keys are and how to get home at night. But I developed a forgetfulness, and I didn't keep track and detail of things people talked to me about. They'd have to remind me sometime when they came back what they had said, because I could not, and I refused to carry all that mess around in my mind. I gave it to the Lord, and he kept it. Why? because that's what God does. He forgets. So we can expect forgiveness, and we can expect him to forget about it. We laugh at a comic movie we saw years ago. Some English man, forget about it, he'd say. Forget about it. He was trying to be a thug or a bad guy, and he was trying to talk like a tough guy. Forget about it. Well, you need to, I make myself laugh. You need to forget about it like God does, all right? Well, Scripture says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward to the things that are ahead of me. Wow. You know what some of you need to forgive? Forget? You do need to forgive, but you know what some of you need to forget? Your big, big successes. Yeah. Some of you have had successes in the past, and you just don't believe God will ever give you another one. How could I ever do anything that great again? Gone with the Wind was one of the biggest books written in the 30s, probably mid-30s somewhere, by an English. Was it an English? No, she was a Southern woman. And it became a hit movie, big, big hit movie. Those famous actors, you know, filled the role. That woman never wrote another book because she just could not imagine doing that great right again. Couldn't make a book like that again, so she didn't try. Well, how about it? Can you forget success? Why? Why should you do that? Well, we do. We build our life on our other works. I know that. But don't be talking about the past all the time. Well, you know, when I was young. Oh, when I was in this other church. Oh, you know, when I had this other life, or I had this other family in some cases. Sometimes people divorce, and then they marry somebody again, and they are trying to recreate that wife again, and that's where the trouble comes. Sometimes people come out of a great church and they move to another town. Then they try to recreate that in the new church. And that new church they go to isn't the old one, and trouble comes. So let God give you a clean slate where you can draw and paint a new picture on. Let this be a day when you can be creative and not try to reproduce some success you had. Amen. It's happened to me in my writings. I've written for years, and every once in a while you hit a big blockbuster. Not so much books, but I did internal writing in the church family, and communicated articles and teachings. Every once in a while I'll have one that just really zinged. I mean, it was great. Of course, I pat myself in the back, you know, break my arm, pat myself. And the next week I sit down and I said, oh, that was so good. I just couldn't, you know, writer's block times 10 because it was such a great write. How can I had to get over that and to push through because there's a greater thing coming. Amen. So God, you can expect God, you can expect mercy. You can expect to have your debt that you owe. You owe God a debt. It's called your sentence of death. You got a death sentence on you. You had one. Jesus paid it for you. He paid your debt. It was an old song of the church. He paid a debt I did not owe. I paid it. It's so old I can't remember it. He paid a debt that I owed that I couldn't pay. You can expect that. And you can expect everlasting life because of Jesus. So when you come to the Lord, expecting something. And the Scripture says the expectation of your heart will not be cut off. All right, let's isolate that thought just for a second. The expectation of your heart will not be cut off. Now, that's not just Bible stuff. That's not just church preacher stuff. That's people things. That's life. If you're a sourpuss, you're going to have sourpuss experience. You're going to have people that are going to be sour around you, and you're going to have days full of sour grapes. But if you exude a happy spirit, if you're able to communicate the joy and of life, not just scriptures and singing songs of the church, but just be a happy person and talk good, talk positive, talk up, be happy. How you doing today? Well, I don't know. I haven't found out yet. Could be a bad day. I just sense a bad day. Come on now. You're going to get what you expect. So when the scripture says, David writing, "This is the day the Lord hath made. Herein will I be glad and I will rejoice." Now, how did he know that? How did he know what the day was going to bring? He could have had another attack by King Saul that tried to kill him a bunch of times. He could have had the armies of the enemy just come over the back wall and try to steal his gold. No, he was confessing and framing a day that was going to be supernaturally charged with life. Wow. Okay. Now, how do we communicate then? Remember I said that equal partnership, great relationships are based on a realistic expectation and communication know-how. How do I communicate? Well, I pray and I talk to the Lord. Can't believe. Well, you probably could, because you might have been this way. Pastor, how do I pray? Now, to me, that's like, how do I breathe? How do you breathe? Well, you just do, you know, you suck in and blow out. Because I've done it so long, and somehow in our Christian pastor family, we prayed all the time. But if you don't know how to pray, someone will teach you, and they will say something like, just talk to him like a real person because he is. Hello, God. Hello, God. Every once in a while, I'll run into somebody and they'll say, "Hello, Daddy." And that's strange to me. I'm still in God, God the Father, you know. I'm old school. And somebody will come along with another term that doesn't sound right, but it's their communication to their father, to their daddy, as it were. Papa. Amen. I have a friend in Oregon that calls him Papa God. Now, that's just cool, but I don't do that because I have another form. It's my way of communication. It's called prayer. Worship is communication. Meditation is communication. Prayer is communication. And he said in Jeremiah 33:3, if we call upon the Lord, he will answer. You know, the guy that invented the busy signal on the phone ought to be horsewhipped. Hey, I'm joking. I don't even know who it was, but wasn't that awful? Now, I'm sorry. Some of you aren't old enough to remember the busy signal. Now you get an answering voice. Hello, please leave a message. But in the old days, it was, and it was just so irritating. Busy signal. There's no busy signals in heaven. And there's no the line being so full you can't get through. Amen. So you call on the Lord, and he will answer. And he'll do several things, according to Jeremiah 3. He'll show you something. Whoa, you'll see something, and you'll hear something. In this equal partner stuff, it's a blast and it's amazing lifestyle when you know that you can expect God to answer you. These are the expectations of God. You can expect God to answer you. He'll show you great and mighty things that you didn't know. You know why people are bored in church? Because they think they know it all. They're going to go to church, and this may be the case in a lot of places. They give you a bulletin going in the door, or they put it on the screen. This is what you will expect today. From 9 to 9:30, we will sing the same songs, or some songs like it. And then we will greet, and then we will give an offering, or, you know, and then we will preach a sermon. And then you will go home, because we need you to leave so we can have your seat for service number two. Well, God bless them. But you're bored. Why? Because this is all there is. I get saved, and I'm waiting for what? The secret rapture, or the end of the time, or dying so I can see Jesus? Jeremiah 33:3 says, he will show you things that you didn't know. Now, that's where the fun begins. That's the spaceship to the stars. That's when the doors open on the side of the wall and you go through that door and end up in another nation somewhere preaching the gospel. That's where the angels come in. That's where the cloud of witnesses visit, come and talk to you about the future. Woo, I'm getting anointed. So, call on the Lord. Joel says you'll be delivered if you call on the Lord. David says if you call on the Lord, he'll take you out of trouble. He'll deliver you from trouble. Pretty good deal, I think. Amen. Well, I just love being with you on Sunday night. And these Sunday night blessings are, I love Sunday nights because of that. Okay. Hey, if you haven't subscribed, you're invited to do that. I told you a couple weeks ago, it's like walking and chewing gum on these new software programs. If I'm looking down, I'm looking at my computer trying to figure out what button to push next. I never have to do that when I'm speaking to God, though, because he's got his hand on the controls. Amen. Well, be sure and let me know you're there. Let me know you have where you're from and that you're listening, because it's a great encouragement. And if God's nudged you to send us a gift, we receive it. You can send it to our address here on the screen, or you can go to the notes and see we have a PayPal account and so forth. We have a podcast you can go to. We've got an international podcast. There's a number of nations that are tuning in. Just amazing. I'm doing some of these broadcasts that you're hearing going out to 4, 5, or 7, or 8 nations. They pop up here and there. Australia, Canada, England, Spain, the Middle East, and so forth. So thank you for your prayers. And we will be here next Sunday. Don't forget now, every morning, we are, again, early in the morning, a word of encouragement. So tune in and be a part of that, and we appreciate it. Until next Sunday, may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. We love you guys. Thank you for joining our broadcast tonight. Thank you for your participation in sharing and telling someone about this. If you haven't subscribed to our broadcast and you found it to be a blessing, do so. Thank you for your giving. You can give by going to our notes, our show notes, and find the PayPal or the address for a mailing, snail mail as they call it. We pray for you and we bless you, and we look forward to seeing you again next Sunday night at 6:00. May the Lord be with you this week. God bless.